Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Good Thursday, everybody, and welcome to, as the nice lady just said, the official podcast of PHP Architect, PHP Podcasts. We are a podcast. We focus on the PHP programming language, running a PHP business, the PHP Architect magazine, and the community, the very, very, very important community. With me to my left or right, I don't know how it shows up on your screen, but I'm going to say to my left is the yin to my yang, the bottom to my top, the co to my CEO, John Congdon.
Howdy, howdy. It's funny you said that. One, the yin to your yang is an inside joke you and I always say to each other because it's hilarious to us. But I was in a meeting today and used this term when Eric and I started dating, when I talked about this.
The throwback SDPHP. I've always been very envious of that shirt. You can be part of the show if you like. All you have to do is join us in our Discord at discord.phparch.com. Pop in there, suggest show titles, which I think I actually used one last week. I think last week is the first week I used a show title. And just hang out in there all week, be part of the community, great PHP community in there, really smart people, people from internals, people from around the world, great set of people. I feel like I'm missing something. I'm out of practice. You've done it like the last 3 weeks, man. I'm out of practice. I don't know what else I'm missing, but yeah, that'll be it. We're gonna get things started here.
Doing good. I do want to thank Honey Badger because I do believe they will be coming back on as a sponsor fantastic. Of PHP podcast.
Cool. I have nothing queued up for them, so
I know.
Thank you, Honey Badger, but we won't be talking with you today.
Yeah, we just so long story short. When we were ending PHP Ugly, I reached out to them to say, hey, we're ending. Here's why, you know, just giving them the heads up because that's, you know, they could have been impacted. I don't know. You know, I just wanted to give them a heads up. Didn't hear back from them for a long time. Emailed them a second time. Like, hey, just want to make sure you got our email. You know, want to know how you'd like to proceed. Still never heard back from them. Talked to Eric about it. Went and looked at my email. Yeah, I sent it to the wrong person. Same name, just at a different company.
Oh, right. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
I'm a moron sometimes.
Have you heard back from him, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I sent it to the wrong person. I still haven't heard from him, but, you know, give him a little bit more time this time.
No, he sent a great response, and that's why I said I'm expecting them to come back on as a sponsor. And.
Very exciting.
I mean, we still use our services, so love them to death. Before the show started, I was messing with Eric. I didn't show him because he didn't know I was wearing the shirt. And I told him I wanted to reveal a black eye. And somehow he related it back to bowling being involved. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have no clue how close you are.
Oh, yeah. True, because that's a bowling shirt. I said because John recently, well, not so recently anymore, but joined a bowling league, and John has a very long history behind bowling. And I was just, when he said he had a black eye, I'm just like, yeah, damn, bowling got a lot more competitive since I last watched. Holy smokes. So is there a reason you're wearing that shirt? That very wonderful, well-made, well-thought-out shirt?
There's a couple reasons. One, as a thank you to getting it from me 12 years ago at this point.
And it still fit.
Back when we started. It's barely. And tonight's a bowling night. We are, you know, solidly in first place. And I decided I was going to wear bowling tonight.
I thought, and we have our first meetup coming up soon. I thought that was going to be the reveal.
That would have been nice. No, not doing that. Not during the holidays. Are you crazy? need to schedule anything.
Yeah. Man, the holidays. Holy smokes. Can you believe another year in the books?
I don't know. Just
this
about.
This is unusually stressful for the end of the year for us, too. My client, the one I work on, we just have so much stuff going on that because the client has these hot, cold times of the year where they're super busy. Then they have these down times where if we want to try to do stuff, we do it like, migrations or upgrades or, typically we'll have like a upgrade or a migration, some big migration we want to do, but it's not that much. This year we're trying to fit a lot in, and all of a sudden we're down to like the last week of the window where starting the beginning of December, things start to ramp back up for them and they really want to have everything in place. So we've been trying to like push through, and we're very cautious. That's why it's kind of, our back is up against the wall, because we've been kind of nursing this along for a while, but we're trying to do a MySQL 8 upgrade, a Laravel 11 upgrade, and a PHP 8.2 upgrade all in one push. Can't imagine what could possibly go wrong. That should be pretty simple, but yeah, the 8, like nothing is crazy out of sync, but also nothing is just a single version behind either. Like we're talking multiple versions, like 2, maybe 3. I think we're on 8. We're on 8 for PHP, and we're pushing 8.2. Laravel, maybe a little bit more. But anyways, long story short, super stressful. And then on top of that, we have a new employee started this week who trying to bring them up to speed and get them productive on the projects that they need to work on. And yeah, just a lot going on for the end of the year. Like I normally pumping the brakes right now and just not able to do it this year.
Yep. Not to mention, like you said, holidays coming up and everything else. So
yeah. Holidays.
I haven't been involved in the PHP 8 upgrade, but I'd be curious why it stopped at 8.2. Were there some issues we couldn't overcome to get to 8.3? And now, as of today, 8.4?
As of today, 8.4, right? Yeah, no, I think we just had so much going on. We just, I feel like maybe that was why we didn't. I don't honestly know right now. I've kind of lost sight of the 8.1. I'm not overly concerned about the 8. I mean, I want to get at least on 8.2 because of Laravel 11, I think is one of the driving factors behind that. But like the PHP stuff, it's not like there's been that many like wonderful new things, although there are new things, and we're going to talk about some of the new things in 8.4 today. But the code base is a monolith code base, and it just switching things out. Like back in the day when the new array syntax came out, there's still legacy code in there of the old array syntax, So like the new stuff is like good and everything, but it's not anything we're going to be able to slap in anytime soon. I would be more concerned if there were like major security, features that were being added, but we really haven't seen that yet. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. The 8 upgrades, I feel like we can do. We get to 8.2, pushing to 8.3, 8.4, it will be pretty simple because it's all Docker environment. So, I mean, if it doesn't work, we just spin up the other container and we're off and running again. I don't know. I think we have people testing too much. And our team has already been testing for like the last 3 or 4 months of stuff because the client didn't know it. But a lot of the stuff, all this stuff had been on test for like months now. And the client hasn't reported any issues, hasn't seen any problems. And so we've been slowly like sneaking stuff through. So the MySQL 8 upgrade is actually in their staging environment. And we did that because we were having some performance issues we were having trouble overcoming. And once we kind of started to overcome them, we pushed them to staging to see if they took, and they did, which was good. So yeah, staging has MySQL 8. Test has Laravel 11, PHP 8.2, and it's just been, that's what's been getting vetted for the last few months. So there's no reason to like muck up that process right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to hear. What about me? What?
How was your week?
Terrible. Man, I spent almost all of Sunday and Monday in bed with a fever. Still, like, I'm fine now. Just got that congestion that's clearing out. So, for the most part, I'm definitely getting better. Man, taking time away from work because you just have to be in bed is no fun, especially when there's so much going on. Like, all of a sudden, code that went live last week, things just weren't perfect with it. And people start finding edge cases of this doesn't work and that doesn't work. And then somebody else throws a hot fix in there trying to make it work, and then make it like fixes one thing but breaks another thing type of issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that wasn't fun. But I did get some good news the night before last. I've been talking to you about bike riding with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
We got accepted to be part of the RAC. So next March, I will be riding my bike with my son from Yuma, Arizona, all the way across California to Mission Bay.
Okay, man. Good luck with that. That's just not a short ride. It's amazing that there's a team that does this, but yeah, good luck with that.
Every year, and they said they've never had a fifth grader that hasn't made it. It's that sense of accomplishment at the end. I'm not going to lie. There's a little bit of me in the back of my brain. We're like, I hope we don't get selected. Like,
yeah. It'd be much easier to break it to the kid. Oh, we didn't get, I would have done it, but we didn't get selected. I was on board 100%.
Obviously I was on board. I've been out on these 20-mile rides with you.
And so here's the thing about that. For people who aren't familiar with the geographical makeup of America, specifically the West Coast of America, Yuma is in Arizona, which is the next state over. But the next state over is like a 3-hour drive by car from, let's say, Mission Bay, where John is talking about the ride ending. So that's like a 3-hour drive by car. It's through a lot of desert, which in March is no joke. I mean, it's not summer yet, but it's definitely getting warm, including a good amount of desert through California. But that's not the hard part. Because after you get through the desert, there's like a mountain range now you have to ride over. And it's like all uphill until pretty much you get to San Diego, which is, then you finally start going downhill a little bit. And that's the part where I'm just like, I'm not doing that. I just can't do it, man.
You know where Mount Soledad is, right?
Yeah.
That's the ride we're doing this weekend. So we'll start at Mission Bay and go all the way around Mission Bay and then go up this steep hill to the top of Mount Soledad.
That would be a good gauge.
As a training ride, yeah.
Yeah, so exciting. I assume, are we sponsoring part of that? Or are we contributing? Or
No.
Oh, okay. We normally do, so I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised to find out. But
yeah, not yet anyway.
So you mentioned, again, here in the U.S., next week is a holiday for us. It's one of the few holidays that we have that most of the rest of the world doesn't have, except for Canada, who has a fake version of it. But we have Thanksgiving, which falls on Thursday. So are we streaming next Thursday?
No.
Okay.
We'll not be able to.
Okay. No problem. I was wondering about that. So we will not be streaming next Thursday. You heard it here first. You moved over the card, and we did touch on it a little bit already, but PHP 8.4, is there anything in there that you're excited about?
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about the property hooks and the asymmetrical visibility.
Yep.
Those things, once we can upgrade our code base to 8.4, which it's going to be a little ways away. Just like anything else, you got to make sure all your dependencies are up to date and, aren't going to break anything. It's on the docket, like get there and then we'll start taking advantage of this stuff. Yeah. There's other niceties that like, no, you don't need to wrap your new class in a parentheses to use it right away. Cause I do that all the time. So it'd be nice getting rid of that.
Yeah, I like things like that. I just like how it makes the this is it right here, right? Is this it? Yep. Yeah, new, yeah. So yeah, we go from this to this, which just looks so much nicer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like nice little quality of life improvements like this.
Because you can type what's on the right first, and it's not working. I'm like, crap. Let me go back and put that in there.
I do too, and it's not like I've ever programmed in any other language where that's normal. I realize there are languages where that's normal. It's not like I can say, oh yeah, I thought I was doing this. It's like, no. I've always been a PHP developer. I mean, I do code in other languages, but not to the extent that I do with PHP. And it's just like, I still do it. It's like, why is this an error? Oh yeah, that's right. We got to wrap this.
Yep.
Another quality of life thing is the new array functions. And what's funny about this is I think you and I had this conversation once before, or maybe it was with somebody from internals now that I think about it. But when you work in frameworks, a lot of times frameworks have these helper classes, and Laravel has some really nice helper classes, actually. Bring that up real fast.
You need to zoom in, I think.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Including a whole helper class that's dedicated to array functions. And so I reach for this all the time. They have helper classes for arrays. They have helper classes for a lot of stuff. But the array one is the one I reach for a lot. And then I'm reading about the new helper classes that's coming in PHP 4. And I'm like, wait a minute. That all sounds really familiar. And this article that I had on my Trello board actually references the Laravel framework and how similar and how to convert these helper classes to what you would have been using in Laravel. And I remember having a conversation with somebody. I don't know if it was you or if it was somebody with internals, but I asked about that. I'm like, hey, I really like these helper classes in Laravel. Has anybody ever considered converting this to the core and, you know, language, like the internal language, because it just seemed to make sense. They're all things we use often when we're doing arrays and stuff like that. And the response was, no, that's really a user land sort of specialty. Like, it doesn't really belong in the core code. And I was like, shit, man, I felt like that was something I might have been able to contribute at some point. And now, a couple of years later, it's like, there it is. It seems like I wasn't the only one thinking that. So yeah, array fine. I mean, again, quality of life improvements with coding. So it's nice that this is part of the going to be part of the core PHP language.
Well, like you said, what if it wasn't part of the framework? It's often something that we write over and over and over again.
Right.
You find yourself needing something like array find, and having to build it anyway.
Array find is the big one, yeah.
Now, I get their point. Like, everyone's going to do it a little bit differently, but when you can pass callbacks in and make it more generic, it makes it perfect for that type of situation.
Yeah. That was something I hadn't realized about the implementation, was that, you know, they all take the callbacks, right? That's all. That's like the argument that you pass in. It's a callback. So I'm like, I might like that better. Like, that seems like it might have a little bit more flexibility. I like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, exciting stuff. I just, man, God, I can't tell you how good it feels to not only be over the hump of PHP moving forward as a language, but to continue to do it, to continue to move forward. Is just, man, I'm proud of PHP again. Not that, mm-hmm. No, yeah, I totally wasn't proud of PHP for a little while, but yeah, it feels good. It feels good to be a PHP developer, and yeah, I like it. Real happy with it.
Yeah.
Something that is not part of PHP 4 specifically, let me find the link for this, actually. I guess I have to click on it. All right. So I'm curious about your take on this. let's share this. How do you feel about, before I share it, when's the last time you've implemented a extension in PHP that wasn't like part of your default install?
Funny enough, you mentioned that. I haven't done it in a long time, but I was talking with somebody today about code we're trying to upgrade. I like our phone systems were written over 20 years ago, running PHP. It's running PHP 7.4 still, but the code is just in a terrible state. It's just old.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're talking around different ideas, he kicked back, well, what if we wrote extensions for this stuff so that they run faster? Because that's the whole point of, you know, in a phone call, you can't be waiting for things to finish. So you need things to be snappy. Like, maybe.
So extension implementation is not super uncommon. Back in the day when we used Pear and not Composer, there was a sister project called Pickle, which was aimed for the extensions. Today, like, extensions are installed. I think Swole is one of the popular extensions that gets installed. Oh, what was that? What's that framework that's actually an extension? Falcon.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, Falcon is another one. But still, it's the way you install extensions is different than how we install packages. Like I said, we used to have Perl, then we had Composer, which really kind of changed the game for us as developers.
Yeah, Pickle, not Perl.
Oh, did I say Perl? Yeah, Pickle, not Perl. Yeah, but Composer really changed the game for us as developers and being able to easily install packages. And maybe that's about to happen with extensions. There is the Pi extension now that is aiming to be what Composer is to packages. Matter of fact, the extensions will live on packages, just like Composer packages live.
Really?
And you will install stuff. And this is coming from the PHP foundation. It's the repo is PHP, the PHP repo. So this is not some third party who said, hey, I have this idea, let's do that. I don't install a lot of extensions, and I don't know a use case where, you know, I would feel it that beneficial to have something install the package for me. But it is a nice concept.
I want to read this article. I hadn't seen this.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the extensions I install, you know, is just part of Ubuntu if you're using that, right? Right. You install PHP, right, and then you go through and you're like, okay, I need PHP XDebug. I need PHP ICNTL or whatever you need. Is the purpose you don't have to wait for the different distributions to create a way to install the extension easily?
So that's a great question. I don't have a great answer for you. I assume so. Although, like, it's not like extension development, it outpaces distro development that dramatically. So I don't know. The other weird thing about it, and again, haven't used this in practice, right? But it's like this example right here, installing an extension using Pi, right? You do Pi extension. First thing, it says, where was it in here? The command needs elevated privileges. Okay, that's a red flag. For anybody, first thing, a lot of people, that was the nice thing about Composer and Perl back in the day, is you didn't need to engage with a systems administrator if you had that sort of environment where you didn't control your servers, right? So it says, you know, may need elevated privileges. I'm like, all right, I guess if it's changing like the PHP INI file, that would make sense. But then you come down here, it says, oh yeah, and you must add this extension to your PHP INI file. I'm like, well, wait, what the hell do you need elevated privileges for? Because, what's happening here?
Well, mostly it's putting the extension code in the source libraries in
right,
the same path as all the other extensions. So that's part of it. I'm so used to extensions needing to be compiled in, but that's not true. Even with when you install it through your package manager. So, I mean, it makes sense why you need elevated privileges as far as where it places it. It then becomes part of PHP on the system, not PHP for Eric on the system.
Right.
versus
which could be
composer packages are
problem. So this is the problem we had when I did manage servers and we were using Peckle to install extensions. Not so much that the extension was there. So it was kind of a shared hosting environment where a bunch of departments used the same server to host their stuff. And we would run into these conditions where this one group needed this version of the extension, and this other group, you know, couldn't be on that version because it would break their code base. And now, in today's world, that's less of an issue with Docker containers and things like that. But yeah, can be a problem. I mean, if you're not using Docker containers, if you're using like a shared hosting environment, extensions can get dicey if multiple groups are using the same extension, and gets kind of where versions matter and it happens. But yeah, I can't even tell you the last time I've needed it to install an extension that like wasn't part of like a framework. Like, your PHP needs to have this extension, which is typically like all the default extensions anyways.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I can't tell you the last time I had to install an extension, but this is interesting. I don't think it's going to have as big of an impact as Composer had to us as developers.
It may, because they're making it easier and easier to write extensions. I keep seeing all these talks being given at conferences, you know, write your extension in Rust and write an extension.
Yeah,
in
yeah, I was about to say, that's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah.
So yeah, there's probably merit there. So I'm interested in it. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, maybe this opens things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. What else you got? You got anything good, man?
Well, speaking of conferences, I started going through the talks for PHP Tech 2025 coming to Chicago next year.
What? PHP Tech 2025?
Yeah, go figure. How do we not have a card for that one?
I'm bringing it up right now.
So this tab. I've had a number of people reach out to me that want to help evaluate the talks. If you are interested and you want to help out, just DM me on Discord at discord.phparch.com. Basically, we're giving you $100 to help us out. But honestly, it might take you...
They're not giving you $100.
$100 off of a ticket to PHP Tech for helping us out. It will probably take you 1 to 3 hours, depending on how tedious, scrutinous, how meticulous you are. Yeah, let's go with meticulous. There's a lot of talks, and you're basically shown three at a time, and you're ranking them. I tend to do it quickly because I do it off of, if I were at a conference and these three were given to me in a time slot, which would I go to? And more often than not, I'm going to go based on the title. Now, if there's two titles that are catchy to me, that interest me, then I'm going to read the abstract and, you know, go a little more in depth. But that's the whole evaluation process. Show you three, you rank them first, second, third. Or if you really think this is a top tier, it has to go, there's what they call a strong opinion for, you know, must see. And then there's a doesn't fit at all. Like, don't show me this again. This isn't part of here. Or if you really just want to ignore one, there's an ignore option. I've had at least one speaker say they wanted to use that for their own talks, even though I told them multiple times, you can rate your own talks high. We have lots of evaluators. So even if you rate it high, if everyone else rates it low, you're going to fall down quickly because of the rating system.
Right. It's not going to tip the scales, really. Yeah.
Right. The whole point of the reason I like doing it this way, having lots of evaluators, is the cream rises to the top, right? If a lot of people rate talks highly, we're going to know that. And that's what we want. We want to have the presentations that people want to see.
Right. And it is tedious, to John's point, because there are a lot of talk, and you'll see the same talk multiple times. I think John mentioned that as well. Unless you ignore it, of course, then it'll just go away. But there's not like a lot to read, I guess, is where I'm getting at. Like, you're giving it the title, which is probably 95% of us will judge what talk we go to based on the title. And then you're also seeing the description. You don't know who submitted it. None of that information is given. So the idea is you just look at the title, say, boom, you know, I'd go this, this, and this, 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 and this. And it's meant to be a quick process, but it's like gamified almost. I remember this last year, like there's a bar that tells you how close you are to being done. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, you know, 95% done, and then you'll vote a certain way, and it'll knock you back down to 87 because
it's not that drastic, but it does knock you down.
You're the algorithm, you know, and you'll just hang out there in the 90s for like hours. Though that might be an exaggeration, but
I could tell you. So it times you as you're going through it, and there's been a couple of instances where I was on the screen, and then I got distracted and went and like had to answer Slack or something. But so far, I'm 40% of the way through. I'm spending about 10 seconds per screen. And so far, 53 minutes in. And it's estimating another hour and 18 minutes left. So it's estimating it's going to take 2 hours
to get done. Remember last year, me, I was basically crying. I'm like, what do you want me to say? I'll say whatever. Just go.
I want to get to that 100%.
Yeah. And we did. So this is the general talks. We'll do keynotes in other talks. Like if we decide to have a
30-minute slot.
Yeah, 30-minute or tutorial talk. We'll usually handle that ourselves. It's just the general talks are the ones we really need help getting through. Yeah.
So not last year. Last year I was a jerk and I asked everyone to do this for all the general talks, do this for all the short talks, do this for all the keynotes. And this year.
Did you last year?
Yeah.
You're a dick.
I am. So this year I made the decision. I'm not doing that. Just help with the hour long presentations, and then Eric and I will tackle the rest.
Yeah. And this is the thing. So John and I obviously run PHP Architect. We have a team behind us, so it's not just the two of us, which is great, helps out tremendously, especially with the consulting stuff. But we're 50-50 partners in the business, despite what some people might think, but we're 50-50 partners in the business. So we don't always agree on things. And especially when I don't get my way, I will continue to bother John until he agrees with me. So I'm going to point this out to everybody. There's blind early bird going on. Fine. Everybody has blind early bird. Oh, no, everybody doesn't have blind early bird. People have early bird. Very few people have blind early bird. But so blind early bird is going on. Fine. We have that. John decided, well, let's have a blind early bird for the 1 day and 2 day passes, which is something new we did last year. We offered a 1 day and 2 day pass in case you didn't feel like you could make the conference for the entire time. I'm like, absolutely not. We're not doing a blind early bird for a 1 day, 2 day pass. They're already cheaper tickets. We don't need to make them even more cheap. Yeah, no, they're there.
I may have just added that without talking to you.
So yeah, blind early bird tickets are available for the entire conference for a 2 day or 1 day pass. But the key thing to recognize is we are evaluating talks. The moment we start settling on talks, the blind early bird will go away across the board, and we will move on to, we'll still do early bird for a couple of months, but blind early bird, this is the cheapest the tickets are going to be for you.
Blind early bird, basically, you're going in blind. You don't know what talks are going to be selected. You don't know who's speaking. You're trusting us to put on a good conference. Hopefully we will. And so we will give you a discount for buying now.
But the other key component of this is we're coming to the end of the year. I realize if you work, you know, in a normal company where Q4 actually rolls over to next year, I get that. But either way, like either you're coming to the end of the year for your company's budget or you're approaching Q4 of your company's budget, this is the time to get in and say, hey, I'm going to want to go to this conference. This is the cheapest the tickets are going to be. Can I buy them? Since we have the education budget or the conference budget or whatever your company calls it, now is the time you want to buy it.
Or go to your manager or boss and say, hey, do you need a tax write-off for next year? Yeah. I have a good expense for you.
Oh, you know what we should do on the, let me go back over here for a second. We have a blog now, in case you didn't know. Oh, you know what? I think I put it down here. Convince your boss. We help you convince your boss. We've actually written out the email for you. Obviously, you'll want to clean this up a little bit. We need to, I guess, check these. I don't know if that's right. But yeah, we have the email for you. So all you got to do is a copy and paste. It's even a Google Doc. You don't even have to copy and paste. You just have to go grab the Google Doc. Yeah, that's great. And there's even arguments on why you'd want to do this. We help you out as much as we could. I was going to say we should make that a blog post. We should at least reference that as a blog post this year. But yeah, we try to make it as easy for you as possible to convince the higher-ups, if you have higher-ups, why this is a good idea. And it really is. We're not, obviously, we want you to come to our conference, but like just going to conferences, PHP conferences specifically, because the community is so strong and so great, is always a good thing. Mm. Yeah, it's, you know, I guess arguments could be made. A lot of people lose their employees that way. I can definitely see that. But
actually, I don't necessarily think that's always true.
It's only true if the person going is interested in being poached to begin with, or move on.
Or they pay for themselves to go to a conference because you're too cheap to send them to a conference.
That's true. Yeah, real talk. Yep. All right. Did you create a card for that? You did not, you loser.
I did not.
I'll add a card for that.
All right.
I'm going to do it to the pricing or the registration link so everybody has it. When we say make cards, the reason this is important, if you're new to the show, that is because we do show notes. So that's something interesting. I made this decision last week, and I do think I will continue down this path. Obviously, this is the podcast of PHP Architect, so I feel less bad about sharing this. So for PHP, if you go to phparch.com, let's share this page. Let's come over here. First thing, I guess we should do new banners, huh? We've had this banner up for a while now.
Yeah.
Good?
I was saying, yep. I agree.
Yeah. So the podcast to subscribe to the PHP podcast, of course, it's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music now. It's everywhere. There's also a RSS feed. If you come up here to podcasts, there's an RSS feed here you can subscribe to. I actually added the Spotify in here. Somebody had mentioned they weren't able to find us on Spotify. I found it pretty quickly. So with other podcasts, Roundtable and Ugly back in the day, I would take the show notes and I would add the show notes to the YouTube channel. I'm not going to do that anymore. I made the decision last week. If you want the show notes, you have to go to phparch.com, click on the podcast, and I'll still have the show notes up typically the same day, or if not the next day. But that's where the show notes will be. I meant to link to this on the YouTube channel, and I forgot to do it last week. I'll do it this week when I'm cleaning up this week's podcast. But yeah, show notes for the podcast from this day moving forward will be on the PHP Architect website. You just go under, there's a section called podcasts. There you go. Podcast, PHP podcast actually is what it's called, which I guess is a wrong name because Scott Keck Warren stuff is on here as well. If you don't know who Scott is, Scott also contributes to the PHP Architect podcast network with a new, well, new to him. I had originally started a Community Corner podcast before we were running PHP Architect with Oscar. I basically bugged him to let me do it. And Scott has picked up that effort and has now, and got to be honest, he's doing a better job at it than I did. He's got a lot, you know, a lot of very interesting people. He's been interviewing a lot of interesting people. So the cool thing about it is, if you subscribe to the PHP podcast stream, you'll get both. You'll get everything. Every podcast we produce, we'll put it there. We are talking about splitting them out. So there's a stream specifically for Community Corner and one for the PHP podcast. I don't know how big of a deal it is for people. It's just a conversation I've had in my head for a while now. So I might be doing that. But regardless, even if I do that, there will always be the catch-all stream that we'll have that will include everything we publish. So yeah, that was a lot of talking about that. I'll move on.
It happens. It's all right. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm going to queue up some stuff here. I see you moving cards around. I'm going to move some cards around. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
I saw this. I haven't read it fully, but have you seen the story about data exfiltration from Slack AI via indirect prompt injection?
Yeah, so didn't we have this conversation last week? I'm pretty sure we did, because I mentioned how I had shared it. Well, I initially had shared it with our Security Corner guy and had said that I don't know if there's a full column for him to write this, but I felt like it was impactful enough where...
Oh, you're right. How did I miss that? Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I wasn't sure if you had a new take on it or not. Like, oh, yeah, I saw this hat. When I saw you put it back, I'm like, oh, please tell me, like, somebody demonstrated it to him in the or something.
You know what happened is I went back in Discord, and it was in another channel. It wasn't in general. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's really interesting, forgetting that you had brought that up.
Yeah, no big deal. Yeah. I mean, we can rehash it if in case people didn't see last week's show.
Right. I mean, it sounds like be careful with AI, basically.
Continue to be careful with AI.
Slack screwed up and made it possible where you could ask the AI questions and get access to, you know, private channels that you weren't supposed to have access to.
Yep.
From what I understand.
Super spooky stuff. Super. Yeah. It was funny because when Slack introduced the AI portion of their product, a lot of community Slack channels shut down. They're like, nope, we're not contributing to this. And to everybody's defense, I remember thinking the same thing. I'm like, I'm not clear. Like, is my company Slack? Are you going to use that to train AI for other companies Slack? I don't want that. I don't think that's what they do now, but this vulnerability is still a vulnerability. So my understanding of the vulnerability itself is, let's take the PHP Architect Slack channel, which is our Slack, which is a Slack that we have. John and I can be having a private conversation between the two of us as, you know, the leads of the company and running the company, and somebody who knows what they're doing could create a public channel or go into a public channel and correctly ask AI questions to extract that information from what John and I thought was a private conversation. The examples, the more damaging examples they show are information leakage, like API keys that you might not want everybody in the company to have, or passwords you might not want people to have. So this is still a very real problem. Yeah, I don't know. It does. I've played in the past with Mattermost, which is an open source alternative to Slack. It's very good. If I had a dedicated system operations team who would manage servers for me, I would probably lean towards implementing something like that. Even all the like tie-ins and plugins and webhooks and stuff are now, you see a lot of them available for Mattermost now. Maybe more so. Yeah, it's almost easier to use Mattermost that way. So
I always get that point of, you know, we could use this open source solution, which is great, but I'm still going to have Slack open because clients and other things I participate in is still going to be there. Now I have two applications running, which I think was one of our arguments for sticking with Slack instead of Mattermost back in the day.
Yeah, it totally was. Yeah, that definitely was one of the arguments.
But go ahead. You have more to say on that?
No, that's all I was going to say. Yeah.
So speaking of AI, I'm going to pay something in private chat here that hopefully AI won't pick up on. Somebody at one of the clients said, this is a thing going around. Put this into ChatGPT. If you use ChatGPT enough, start a new conversation with the prompt. Based on what you know about me, draw me a picture of what you think my current life looks like. And for mine, it was, I guess I can try and download that and put it into Discord.
I'm doing mine right now. So it's thinking, it's laughing. Is it normal for it to laugh like that? I'm sure. Let's see what comes with. I don't know how you use AI, but well,
you're about to find out.
I have chats that are specific to like projects I work on.
Yeah.
So like PHP, you have got to stop this. This is so awesome. How do I need to get this? Hold on. Wait a minute. Is it supposed to draw an image?
Yeah. So when I did it, after it renders an image for you using DALL-E, it then gives you an explanation. So for mine, it was, here's an artistic depiction of your current life, blending your roles as a baseball coach for the Blue Diamonds and a professional preparing for a presentation on event sourcing. It captures the dynamic balance and fulfillment of your journey.
Okay, mine did not say all those cool things. Mine says, mine literally says, here's an image I envision based on what I know about your current life. That's all mine says, damn it.
Like, what the hell? I love how, if you look at the bottom of my image, it's kids with baseballs as heads.
Jesus, what is wrong with you? All right, here's my image, just so you know. That's my image. So what's cool?
That's very similar to one that somebody else got. That's funny.
And for the record, where it says next PHP pop conference in it, it basically does mimic my spelling pattern. So that's pretty much how I spell. Yeah, this is... It has this. I never asked it about scotch. How does it know about my scotch habit? I didn't say problem. I said habit. this is actually pretty funny.
The thing that would have made it funnier is if it was a bottle of Lagavulin.
Lagavulin, yeah, for sure. The fact that it even has scotch there is pretty on brand for me. It's got the little baseball up here, which everybody knows I'm a big baseball fan. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I love stuff like this. This is great.
Here, if you're listening, I'm putting the prompt into Discord just for fun.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Here's the prompt we discussed on. There you go.
Yeah, if you're watching the live stream or if you're watching a video afterwards, you actually see the chats that are happening on the live stream, and you can be part of those chats. So pop over to discord.phparch.com and be part of the action.
There you go.
I don't know if any title suggestions came in, but I made some updates to the bot this weekend.
But we've had zero title suggestions.
You guys
suck. Where is everybody?
Kick everybody out of here. Our view count is looking pretty damn hot, I gotta admit. Happy with that, but okay. Right. What else do we want? Where are we out of time? Okay, I'm going to talk about some fun stuff here. Running out of time a little bit. Okay, first fun thing. I guess I'll share the page because why not? But I saw this from, I think TJ Miller was the first person I saw it from. GitHub receipt. This is cool. All you do is put in a GitHub name, and it prints a receipt for everything that person's done. So what's your GitHub name? Is your just John Coleman?
Yeah. Yep. So that's going to be very embarrassing.
Yeah, that's why I didn't put mine in. So it says how many repos you're a part of, how many stars you've earned, how many followers you have, how many repos you've worked, and how many people you're following. The top languages you code in, which is, this is very surprising. I'm curious about what Ruby stuff you're doing. Yeah, fun stuff, man. Your overall score. So yeah, this is obviously I'm zoomed in here. You zoom out a little bit here.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, so a fun thing. You can download it, you can share it. Yeah, check it out. The link will be in the show notes. Yeah. The other thing, oh, let me touch on this real fast. Just because I've seen this crazy influx of this recently, Blue Sky. If you don't know what Blue Sky is, which is taking a very long time to load, look at this, 12, every time I come in here now, every time. So what Blue Sky is it's the old owner and founder of Twitter. When Elon bought Twitter and decided to burn it to the ground, Blue Sky was the project that they were working on that was supposed to be the next iteration of Twitter. And during the buyout, they had negotiated to allow him to take Blue Sky and do what with it as he pleased. So he released Blue Sky. It really kind of didn't have a lot of traction at first, especially with the crazy Mastodon, people moving to Mastodon, which was insane, including a very significant amount of the PHP community. And when I say moving, I do mean leaving Twitter, X, and just totally converting. As of late, Blue Sky has taken off. I'm getting followers like crazy. Look at this. Like, this is just today. Like, within the last 4 hours, I'm getting followers like crazy. Like, people are converting over. Look, Matt just started following me. He's my buddy. So yeah, people are just going crazy over Blue Sky. And the cool thing about it is it's a super strong PHP community right now. I struggle a little bit with Blue Sky because of some of the conventions in it are a little different. Wow, you see how slow it's loading, which is, this is very unusual. But you do have like topics you can follow as well. So you see, I'm following a couple of people who are managing Laravel and a PHP dev one. But yeah, very strong PHP showing in Blue Sky right now. So if you're a Blue Sky person, look me up. Eric Van Johnson, I think, is my handle. Jeez, I don't know. Yeah, Eric Van Johnson is my handle of Blue Sky right here. It's a lot like Mastodon where you have to do like the at, and then it has like the server. I mean, Mastodon's different. There's another at symbol here, which is really bugs me. But yeah, look it up. If you're on there, look me up and give me a follow. My thing with Twitter back in the day, and I bring it over to here. If you follow, I typically follow back. Like, I will typically follow everybody who follows me back. So if you want to follow, give me a follow, and that's how we'll roll.
If I wonder how hard it would be for Mastodon to switch the double at to something like that, username dot server.
Right. Because it just looks so much cleaner.
Yeah, it does look goofy with the two ats.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's open source. It seems like it could be a lot to do. All right. I already moved this over to talk about, but you have a PHP Storm one here. Do you want to talk about Storm? Did you read it?
I mean, I went through it. It has to do with, we'll bring it over.
Let's do it.
The new version of PHP Storm 2024.3. It has some new niceties in it, including support for PHP 8.4, which I'm looking forward to use, hopefully sometime soon. Says they have some AI assistant improvements, but the big one that was pointed out, I think you pointed out to me, was as support for Laravel Herd as a PHP interpreter. If you use PHP Storm, you know you can set up various interpreters, but it's nice to be able to say, I want to use, you know, what Laravel Herd is using, right?
Yeah, that's something that we haven't talked a lot about, because I mean, I still am a big Lando person, especially, but when we moved back, John and I recently, I mean, within the last year, I think, moved back to the Mac full time. You know, we were using them for the conference anyways, for the editing we did, and I was having a problem with my pop machine at the time. So anyway, I don't need to justify it to you. You guys are nobody to me. What? No. But so we moved back to the Mac, and the Herd is a product out there mainly for Laravel, but it works for other PHP projects as well. And John had asked me about it because I kind of used it, but I was still using Lando on the Mac. And yeah, so we've been using Herd now for the last couple months, and I'm liking it. It's fine.
My problem with it is it conflicts with my main project. My main project, I have my Docker set up on port 80. Mm-hmm. So I have to turn Herd off to work on that project, which is 95% of my time. Mm-hmm. And so I end up on my other projects spinning it up differently and working on a different port.
I mean, you can have Herd run on another port, but still, it's like, I want it to be on port 80. Like, I like it on port 80. Right. I'm the same way with the project. The main project I work on, we have a Docker configuration. This is still one of the cool things about Docker is it's the Docker configuration that we deploy to production. We deploy to all the environments. It's the same Docker configuration. So it's definitely nice to work in that when you can. And there's a lot of components to it, way more than what Herd offers. Herd gives you the ability to add on components like database or our queuing system, even to handle mail. But we have a lot of components for this one. And it's, anyways. So yeah, I'm the same way. I got to shut Herd down. And I'm actually in Herd a lot because the tech system, the PHP tech, a conference site, tech TV, all those, I work in quite a bit. And so I spend a lot of time with Herd just running. But yeah, I don't want to run it on a different port.
I haven't seen how to make it run on a different port.
It's there.
If it's possible, well. All right, we don't have to look for it now.
I know I'm not there. Looking for it now because
I am because you told me it was there and I don't.
It's there.
Find it.
I don't know where it's at, but it's there.
Oh, open configuration files. Nope, that's PHP configuration files. No. Nope.
Anyways, if you did follow me on Blue Sky or X or Mastodon, you will know that I have freaking fallen in love with a new terminal app. So I'm a terminal guy. First thing, I converted from Vim to NeoVim a few years back, but I never got my NeoVim configuration to where my Vim configuration was. And it's my own fault. I was mucking around with it. There was like a lot of new things. Lua was new. The file structure was new. So I was constantly mucking around with it, kind of messing it up. And it was not that big of a deal. I'd just like blow it away. I use a lot of starter packages, tried a bunch of Luna Vim was one I tried it. There's Chad Vim. There's a few. Lazy Vim is what I'd been on for a while. And of recently, I've really dialed in. I'm to the point now where I need to keep my NeoVim running like the way it's running right now, because it's like it's actually very functional, very useful, very IDE-ish. So I could like feel like I could, you know, use it full time again, which is something John and I did when I first started doing PHP development full time. Him and I both used Vim as our main editing tool, right? Mm-hmm. You and I both did that, yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
but it, you know, it's been a while since I really relied on it full time. My terminal NeoVim is getting me there. I'm really happy with it. I even have my Copilot AI in there, which is what I use in PHP Storm. Really happy with it. But as such, I find myself spending more and more time at the terminal. So this last weekend, I really tweaked out. I'm a terminal Tmux guy, right? So I have Tmux sessions set up for each project. I'll have multiple tabs open. So I'll have the one tab is my local system, and then I'll have a tab for each remote server I connect to. And everything is typically running Tmux. And I tweaked all that out where I was really happy. But I always struggled with file system management. I mean, I know how to use, and I use it pretty flawlessly. The CD, LS commands, the CPs and RMs and MVs. I know all the commands. So whenever I looked at like a file management software like Midnight Commander, or there's quite a few out there. MC was the one I really felt like I should have liked, because that was the one everybody used. But I just never got a file system manager in terminal that I cared for. That all changed last weekend with Yazzie. Yazzie has blown me out of the water, and I am so happy with it. I even have like image preview in my terminal now. So like if I'm looking for images, which is really one of the reasons why. Oh yes. Oh, very much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have
image. Try it out.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you. Let me know if you need help setting it up, because it's a game changer for me. I even there's a lot of tweaking you can do with it, but yeah, it's, let me see. I'm trying to see if I can get to our logos. Yeah, see, it's right here. I've actually bookmarked it already. Logos. I really want to show you this. So if I go into logos,
you're not sure. What you can say, no?
No, yeah, I know. I'm looking for information leakage just to make sure I don't have anything leaking here. No. Okay, I'm gonna share this. I'm sharing this. I want everybody to appreciate this. I need to switch back and forth between windows a little bit, so apologize for that. Let me stop sharing that. Let me come down to here to share. Cancel this, share this. All right. So you're going to see my whole setup here. Oh, no.
What did you do?
It's a new system, and it won't let me share other windows right now because I need to restart.
Sometimes you can say cancel or no, and then it still does it.
Right, it's not doing it. that's why I know. All right, not next week. I can't do it next week. There's no other way to do this. I can't share it with you guys. Oh, I'm so sorry. The next show, if we remember the next show, I'll show you my whole setup and how I do things. But yeah, check Yazzy out. John, I'll share with you after the stream, but it's very beautiful. And again, if you're a GUI person, you don't appreciate this, but like understanding Vim bindings, Vim movements, and having applications like Yazzy and NeoVim, and just being able to stay in a constant flow on your keyboard without reaching for a mouse, is such a wonderful world to live in. And It's fine if you're ignorant to it and you don't understand the benefits to it. Live your life. You live you. You be the best you can be. But once you get into that world, it's so frustrating to have to reach for like your mouse or something. Yeah. So check it out. If you're a terminal person, if you've been getting into TUIs, especially, check out a Yazzy and you will be happy, I'm sure. Yeah, no, I don't want that there. Don't do that. We have another window. Where's that at? Take it off this one. Just move back up here. There we go. All right. Where are we at? We're good. Gotcha. We're good on time? Yeah,
we're good on time.
All right. So that's going to do it. So show notes, again, will be on the PHP Architect website. This has been episode 2024.11.21. Just as a reminder, we will not be streaming next week, which kind of sucks because one of the things is my script that creates the show notes now creates the list for next week. So what a waste of time that was to code. But we'll get to that next week. And yeah, I think that's it. Anything else, John? Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. Looking forward to 2 weeks from now when we can chat again.
Yeah, if you're up in the San Francisco area, I will be up there this weekend, driving up there this weekend to visit the kid who won't be joining us for Thanksgiving this year. So, you know, let me know. I'm not going to come see you or anything. I just want you to know I'll be in your area. yeah, I think that's it. All right. I think you start it, right?
Oh, I don't.
That's going to do it?
Are we doing it? Yeah, it's going
to
do it.
I don't know. Are we doing it? I don't know. I don't know how to end the show, John.
Until next time, keep coding.
No, I do keep coding.
Keep listening.
Keep coding.
keep reading. thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for hanging out. It's been great. Happy Thanksgiving. If that's something you do. And I'll see you in a couple weeks.
We're thankful for you. Even if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving where you're at, we're thankful that you're here with us.
We are thankful. Bye.
Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.